Fasters is just to thank God that I'm able to be with you this morning. I have never preached from this end. The last time I preached, it was from the other end. But I have conducted a wedding. That was a separate thing. But I thank God that today I am preaching from this end. You are surely occupying the place. Hallelujah. When Pastor Dominic told me that he's demolishing whatever used to be here, I told him, you are now possessing the place. Hallelujah. May I also thank God that yesterday I was able to be with Pastor Dominic and Pastor Carlo, and those who were able to come, and we had a wonderful service. Although I wasn't, it was not in the plan. It just happened that God wanted it that way. Amen? For when I planned to be with Pastor Dominic, that was in May 12th, when he had visited me in Delaware, and we scheduled that I would be here this weekend, beginning yesterday, and be here for this service, and go to do the wedding later in the evening. Amen? But God also knew that there was going to be that meeting yesterday, and I thank God. I saw the love you have for your pastors, and I thank God that you are in their lives. Amen. Pastor Dominic and Pastor Carol, as they have said, they call me daddy. I may not be a biological daddy. I'm just an older brother, but they have great respect for me, and I say thank you. To me also, they are my mentors. Amen. Because a son and a father reach at a time when they too share, almost like now the Rickards. Dr. Rickard will listen to his son because he's of age and he has something that he can offer back to the daddy. Amen? So I thank God you have a great man in the name of Pastor Dominic. He is truly a shepherd. Hallelujah. This age, true shepherds are rare to find. Once you find one, thank God that you have one. Amen. There is something before I preach that I just want to say, and I just feel to say. I said it yesterday very briefly. I'll not be long on this. Scriptures in Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burden, and by so doing, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. And I thank God that you have begun to do that and you are demonstrating that in the lives of your pastors. And I urge to those who were there yesterday that the burdens of your pastors are entirely yours. Because you are one family. Hallelujah. And as the head of this family called KAC, Kingdom Ambassador Church, those burdens that are in his house, the needs that are there, may they be financial, may they be emotional, whatever they are right now, that Pastor Carol cannot sit here and minister to you, those I put to you, church, they are your burdens. Praise God. Therefore, do what you have to do and alleviate, lift them off, let them be light on them. Whatever little you can do, you'll be doing yourself a favor, because when those burdens are lifted, then Pastor Dominic can be able to minister to you with ease and with a lot of blessings, because he shall have time to seek the Lord. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Please, is that too hard on you? Please take that lightly, but I believe that's the will of God for you as a church. That what Pastor Dominic is going through now and Pastor Carol, the entire church is going through. Just do your part. Hallelujah, and the Lord will do you good. Amen. My wife this morning, I spoke to her, and she told me to pass regards to you, so receive her greetings. Amen. And now I want to go to my teachings. Hallelujah. I always say, I'm not the one who brings roofs down. I'm not one who shouts so much. So follow me. Amen. Treat me unique. Hallelujah. So our study today is tears in a bottle. No wonder you can see that I have some bottles there. Tears in a bottle. And our scripture comes from the book of Psalms 56 and verse 8. And he says, you number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus, giving his very first teachings, he says, blessed are those who mourn, and I add, those who cry, for they shall be comforted. Hallelujah. In the olden times, there was a custom of people putting tears in a bottle, a small bottle. It was not this shape. It was a shape of a tear. But I could not get one bottle with the shape of a tear, like a bell or like a bulb. The way a bulb has a neck and then it's big in the bottom, just the way a tear would drop. That's the shape. Amen? And they had these kind of bottles in the olden Roman culture where the person who is afflicted, he could cry, and those who have come to comfort him, they would wipe the tears and squeeze the tears into the bottle. And as they squeeze the tears into that little bottle, and for my purpose, I'll use this one, that bottle, or lacrimatory, they call it lacrimatory, it was kept as a memorial, as a constant reminder by the one who has carried it of the relationship he had and the pains that the one who suffered went through. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So that pain was not forgotten. Whenever the person would look at the small bottle, he would remember the pain, the sacrifice, the tears of the one who suffered. And when the person died, especially for the rich and great, so many bottles were gathered and they were buried with them as a memorial of their pain and their suffering. And probably this is from here, you see David writing, saying, you number my wanderings. You number my struggles. You number my pains. God is a great numberer. You put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? They are listed. They are in his book. David was a man of prayer throughout his life. In Psalm 6:6, he says, I am weary of my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. You cannot swim on dry ground. He's saying, I tear so much that my bed becomes a swimming pool. I drench my coach with tears. He was a man of tears. And just like pastors talk here, a great king, mighty man, whenever it came to things of God, he undignified himself for God. Just like he undignified himself in his worship. The scripture is telling me here, he did not say, I'm man enough. I cannot cry. And we have a problem, especially we from the other end, the records here, I'll tell you what. Men, especially boys, from when they are young, they are told, do not cry. Only women cry. So we don't cry, Israel. So when you find an African crying, it is very hot on him. But David, thank God, he was not an African. Hallelujah. He understood that tears have to be shed. And right of tears have to be shed. Psalms 42:3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night. Of course, this is an analogy. He was not eating them, putting them on a plate and eating. But he's saying, just like the way I have to eat every day, I have to drink every day, I have to tear before God. And he's saying, why they continuously say to me, where is your God? Yes, they are looking and asking, where is the God of this man? But this man is just pouring his tears to his God. He continues in Psalm 69:3. He says, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail when I wait for my God. Why is the throat dry? Because of shouting, because of crying, because of wailing. Hallelujah. He comes to a place where now he has a problem with his throat because of his wailing unto his God. Finally, in Psalms 141:1, he says, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So to David, prayer was not just, I'm complaining. To David, prayer was a sacrifice. Hallelujah. Many would look for prayer and see prayer just like something that came out of pain. But David here is treating it as something of worship. Whenever we talk of sacrifice, then we are talking of worship. And he's saying, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. Jesus too was a man of prayer. And we know this very well. Scripture says when he approached Jerusalem on his last weekend, and you know it, the story, the triumphal entry, and he saw Jerusalem, and he saw how rejected, he could foresee the rejection that was to come a week down the line. Amen. Because they celebrated him as he entered Jerusalem. But 7 days down the line, they are saying, to hell with that man, we know him not. He knew the rejection, and the Bible says, as he approached Jerusalem in the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 41, he wept over the city. Hallelujah. He wept over the city. John chapter 11 tells us of the story of Jesus weeping at the house of his friend Lazarus. John 11, 35. The scripture says, and Jesus wept. Hallelujah. Also in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm trying just to highlight areas where we see great men tearing up. And the scripture says, and being in great anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Paul was also a man of prayer and a man of tears. And writing to Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 4, he says, I greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears. Being mindful of your tears. Paul wrote to Timothy over many things. There are times he would even write to churches thanking them for their gifts. But this time he is writing to Timothy on account of tears. So tears are something that meant something to Paul. He says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I see your tears, I, Paul, your mentor, I will be filled with joy. I'll not be filled with the pain. I'll be filled with joy. When God sees our tears, he's filled with joy. Hallelujah. And now we come to a place where tears begin to do work. I bring you to the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 4. Scripture talks about Cornelius. He sees a vision. And in this vision, the angel tells him, he sees an angel. And when he sees the angel, he says, what is it, Lord? And the angel tells him, your prayers, follow me, your prayers and your arms have come up to me for a memorial before God. Your prayer and your offering have come up as a memorial. The things we do, the prayers, the tears, the arms, everything we do, rise before God as a memorial. This man was not even saved. It's on account of that that we know. God said, let this man never be wasted. On account of that, he sent Peter to his house, and Cornelius and his family received Christ as Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about our tears. I gave you all that as laying foundation of our tears. I want to say our tears are a memorial before God. Our tears are a beautiful incense before God. Revelation 5 verse 8 says, "Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints." And then in Revelation 8, verse 3, "Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at this altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of saints ascended before God from the angel's heart." Hallelujah. And here I am using prayers and tears simultaneously. Hallelujah. So because as we tear, we are praying. And it's rising before God. And he's saying, these are the prayers of the saints. These are the tears of the saints. They rise before God, ascending before God, beautifully put in a bowl before God. Hallelujah. So there is a book of remembrance in everything. God is not a God who forgets. God is a God of order. As men, we forget, and as men, we are careless. But I want to tell you, whatever we do in this life, God is recording it. The scripture says in Malachi 3:16 that those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on him. Now, where am I leading to? That tears and things that are recorded on your behalf, there's a time they will rise and plead on your behalf. They become an investment. Just like we store things for the rainy days, we put money in the bank, and one day we go back and draw from that account. Our tears, our prayers, our sacrifices is an investment before God. Because there are times we wonder, does God really care? Does God really remember? Does God really take note? I have a story to tell that God takes note. In the book of Esther chapter 6, we know the story, verse 1 to verse 4, where the king has rest. He's here, and one night he cannot sleep. And at that time, you well know that Naaman wants to destroy Mordecai. But God causes this man not to get sleep. And he says, "Bring me the books of record." And I thank God that the Bible is a book of record. And I thank God that even there's a book called the Chronicles. And the things the kings of Israel did, they are written there. And sometimes you read and you hear, isn't all whatever the king did not written in the Chronicles of Israel? Praise God. They are chronicles. Even what we are doing here, men and women of God, they are chronicled. They are sometime. They will be remembered. And I thank God that God will someday say, "Can you bring that scroll?" And when the scroll was brought to the king and it was opened and it began to be read for him, he came to a place where he realized that his life was saved by Mordecai. When these three men, Bigthan, Teresh, and the others, who were the security agents of the king, wanted to poison him. And Mordecai revealed the secret, and the king's life was saved. And then he asked a question, was anything done to Mordecai? And they said, no, the record did not show anything. And then he asked, who is in the court? And we know the story very well. At that time, Haman is coming to give the report. He wants to destroy the Jew. But he does not also know that God is overturning tables at that very hour. That is the hour he's going to be exposed. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that very hour, Mordecai will be lifted up. Yeah. Why? On account of things done long ago,
Things that seemed to have been forgotten, but because they were in the record of the king, they were numbered, they were listed, and they were preserved. Hallelujah. Your struggle, they are numbered. Your struggles are listed, and your struggles are preserved. Praise be to the name of the Lord. And in the right time, when you really need it, and you do not know how help will come, God in his own divine way will call for the records to be brought. And that's the same day and same time you'll meet with your miracle. Praise be to the name of the Lord. I want to bring the story of John the Baptist. It is in the book of Luke, chapter 1, and beginning verse 13, you see, the angel has come and found Zechariah doing his priestly duty. And the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." And I want to follow the tense of that, the tense that are spoken there. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. It's not "for your prayer was heard." Not past tense. It's present. "For your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you know the story that Zechariah began to say, "No, I'm already an old man. My wife is an old man, so how can this happen?" And as a result of that, the angel tells him in verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall this be? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced." And the angel later told him, "Because you doubted, you are not going to speak until the child is born." Now, this is the thing that I want us to see. The prayers that were answered that day was not what Zechariah was praying for. Because he was praying for, then he could not have doubted it. Amen. After all, now he's an old man. He's like coming into the records now at their 70 years of age and telling them they prayed for a son when they were in their 20s, when they got married. They never got any. At the age of 70, you are telling them your prayers have been heard. They'll tell you, "Come on, if God wanted to hear our prayer, he would have heard when we were in 20s, in our 30s, in our 40s. Now leave us. We are in our olden times, olden days." Amen. This is exactly what was happening. Your prayer has been heard. My question to you, which prayer was heard? At that time, Zechariah was not praying for a son. That was a foregone story. But it's a prayer he had prayed when he was youthfully married. The prayer that he thought was forgotten. The prayers whose value at this time he did not even have. Because humanly, it was a bygone. God has chosen it this way now, that me and my husband, we can go to the grave childless. But God had stored that prayer. God had stored the prayer of this couple in his bottle. He had numbered their struggle. And he knew at what time in their life he's going to release the answer. That's why I told you to mark the tense. He does not say, "And your prayer was answered." Your prayer is answered. Why? Because to God, that prayer was being presented by the angel before God as fresh as it was presented when Zechariah and the wife were in their 20s. The prayer had not grown old. They had grown old, but the prayer remained fresh. Why? It had been preserved by God, for it was in a bottle. I am building something to you. I want your faith to rise. I want to know that all that you do, your tears are not wasted. They are in a bottle of God. Hallelujah. Let's look at something about Jesus himself. Because these are things we quote, and sometimes we don't understand from where we quote them. But Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, "It is Christ," now I'm talking about Jesus now, "it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Hala. Let's go to Hebrews 7:24. "But he," Jesus, Because he continues forever. The word continues forever is something continuous. Has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he's also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I have a question to you, church, and I'm very saved and going to heaven. Do you think Jesus is kneeling before the Father, telling them, remember them, the way intercessors we do? Because the Bible also says he's seated at the right hand of God. But here we are reading something that he's interceding for us always, meaning that is his duty before God. At the end of this service, I have opened to you the eyes to see what he does or what that scripture means. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is already seated at the right hand of the... So he's not kneeling before Father, telling Father, remember them. That he already did. Hallelujah. But that prayer stands before God continuously as a memorial before God. The suffering of Jesus on the cross, the blood he shed on the cross, the tears he shed at Gethsemane, the blood he poured when his whole body became a stream of water when he was praying in Gethsemane. The blood that came from every part that he was wounded is before God as fresh as it was. Don't you say that when he came, he showed Thomas the places where the hands had been spiked? So before God, God sees the bruised Jesus every day. But he also sees the victorious Jesus every day. For he was a lamb, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Have you seen these small things they make? Like there's a time I went to Hawaii and I went to the place where the ships were sunken and I bought that thing. One side, when you look at it, you see the ship. You look at it the other side, you don't see the ship. What you see is a monument and the grave they buried them underwater. Sometimes I see people with this thing, the one face, you look at it. It's the same thing you are looking, but you see the face of Jesus. You look at it from another angle, you are seeing Mary. Have you ever seen those kind of things? God, when he looks at Jesus before him, he sees the lamb that was slain before the world was made. That's what the scripture says. But he also sees the victorious lion of the tribe of Judah. What does the blood, the flow, the torments of Jesus, the torture of Jesus represent before God? His prayer for you and for me. And that's what pleads for us before the eyes of God every day before God. Why? Because now I'm coming to a place that your tears are a memorial. Hallelujah. Now are you following me? When people die, we put a tombstone. What does a tombstone remind us? What's the importance of the tombstone? It reminds us of who died there. And sometimes we write a small scripture there. Hallelujah. And whenever you see a tombstone, you read what comes to your memory. Even if you didn't want, what comes to your memory is the person who died. If you saw the tombstone of George Washington, you'll not see the story of Jomo Kenyatta. What will come to your mind is about George Washington. And if you knew the struggles he had before he died, they will surely come back to your mind. That's why as pastors, when we do an anniversary, like sometimes you are called to do what we call a memorial. It's like you are recalling the process of death again, calling it back. And you find even the family beginning to shed tears again because it has become as fresh as it was when the person died. I want to tell you that our tears stand before God as fresh as the day you cried. Our tears, the tears that Jesus shed, they stand before God daily. The pain he went through stood before daily. That's what these scriptures, Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:24,
means that when God looks at his son, who first left the heavens with all the glory, now he sees the same, but now the bruised one. The bruises cry before God. They are a constant reminder of the work of Jesus for you and for me. Equally, when you have prayed, God has put your prayers in a bottle. They are a constant reminder. Hallelujah. They are a constant reminder. They don't grow old. They are not forgotten. But he sees them every day. Even if you don't pray today, since you prayed yesterday, they are still fresh in the hands of God today. Many things that we receive is not because we prayed today. It's because we had prayed earlier. Imagine you are traveling and an accident is just about to happen. Even if you are to make prayers, how many seconds do you have to pray? So what keeps you from that accident? God goes to the account immediately and draws from the prayer you had prayed earlier. Therefore, I have a message for you. You cannot tire from praying. You cannot say God has not been hearing my prayer at the right time when you least expect. But when you are in real trouble, God will come for your way. Mordecai did not know when he would be rewarded. He had not even known that he would be rewarded. But God knew that, Mordecai, you needed some time. When his prayers have not been answered the time you expected. Get this from Mordecai. If Mordecai had been rewarded, probably would have been given just some check, right? But when it was forgotten, at the right time, he not just received a check, he received his life. It was greater payment than the reward he would have received. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I not receiving the answers of my prayer now? I am telling you, they are an investment. And guess what? When you put money in the bank, it does not stay the same amount. God also does investment. God multiplies your prayers. Just like your money gets interest. Hallelujah. So when you are drawing much more than you would have received the day you prayed. Hallelujah. Mordecai received much more. He got his life back. He saved all the Israelites through that process. And he became a governor. You know the story. Hallelujah. He got much more than he would have just gotten day one. When the king would have said, Mordecai, you have done good to save me. I just want to reward with you this much. So has it come to you? If it has not come, tell yourself, is coming in a greater way. It is multiplying in the hearts of God. It is a worthy investment. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he numbers my wandering. Hallelujah. He numbers my struggle. He numbers my walking. And I want to bring us to a scripture. You know, I thank God the way scriptures connect to one another. Go to Genesis chapter 47, verse 8 and 9. Allow me to take my jacket off, please. Scripture says that Pharaoh said to Jacob, this is when Jacob has gone to Egypt. Joseph has sent for him and he comes with chariots and now he comes to Pharaoh and Pharaoh is excited to see the father of the prime minister. And Pharaoh says to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of my pilgrimage or the days of my wandering are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. Hallelujah. Scriptures is talking about the numberings. The numbering of the wandering. The days and the years of wandering. I want to tell you every struggle you are wandering, it is numbered. For Jacob, it was 130 years. I don't know how many years are years of your struggle. I'm not asking your years.
I'm talking of the years of your wandering, the years of your struggle, the years of your looking for help, the years of real struggle. He's saying they are years of evil. These have been years of evil. But now I thank God because of Psalms 56. You number my wandering. So have you wandered so much? It's on God's record. He has recorded it. And at the right time, he gives you rest. Jacob came to this Pharaoh and he got rest. From that time, there was no more wandering. A time is coming. I don't know how long it is. For Jacob, it was 130 years. But a time for you, it could be 1 year, 2 years. I don't know. But God will bring you to a place where you'll not wander again. He knows you are wandering. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So what are tears? A tear is more than a chemical that helps lubricate the eye. And here, doctors and nurses, you are better than me here. A tear is our deepest longing. Tears are the deepest longing of human heart. Scientifically put in a chemical solution. When we tear, it's not to pretend. It's not like a child who will dip his finger in water and put it on the face. No. We are talking of the deep tears that come from within us, the wailing that comes from within us, the groaning that comes from within us. Sometimes you just stand, you even don't know that you are tearing up, but the heart is already bubbling out, and as it bubbles out, you see the watery substance. We call the tear. A tear is, in his own creation, God created the tear for a reason. Hallelujah. He created a tear as a language. A tear is a language that humans, we can't understand. But God only understands. It speaks a language that's not English, it's not Kiswahili, it's not French. But it's a language only the Creator understands. I want to tell you, when you tear, when you cry, your brother will not know what you mean. Your mother, your father, your daughter, your son, they will not know. But I'll tell you, there is one who knows what you are talking about. Because even you don't know what you are saying in your tears. That's why when people are really in anguish, they just find themselves tearing. It's a response where we communicate with our Creator. Just like the way we do things in the spirit and we don't understand. But the spirit to spirit understand one another. Our tears communicate with our Father. It communicates with the one who created our tears. It tells him, Father, I'm going through stress. Father, it tells him things I cannot even communicate because I don't know what it tells him. But the thing is, he sees them and he understands. And he comes to bring relief. No wonder when people refuse to tear, when they bottle up, you know the result? Many people end up depressed. They end up in a lot of more pain because bitterness continue to grow in them. But those who tear, those who release, those who let go, kind of they get a relief. So I cannot really tell how it happens. All I'll tell you is that there is a language. I want you to bring you to a woman in Luke chapter 7 verse 38. We know that this woman, we call her the sinner who anointed Jesus. And the scripture says, and as she stood at the feet of Jesus, behind him, weeping, she began to wash his feet with her tears. And the story goes on and goes on. It does not say she spoke a word. Peter and the disciples did not hear her say a word. But Jesus heard all what she had to say because he is God. At the end of it all, Jesus looked at her and said, "Human, your sins have been forgiven." Did she say, "Jesus, forgive me"? Is it written in the scripture? My Bible doesn't have that. That she poured her the oil and then she said, "Jesus, I'm doing this so that you forgive me." She didn't have to speak. Jesus knew she needed deliverance. Jesus knew she needed her sins to be forgiven. Jesus knew that the language of the tears is a language that's saying, Jesus, I need all. I have lost all, and I have given all to you. May I have all that you have for me. That was the language of the tears at that time. What is the language of your tear? You think your tear is just water that's dropping, like the tap water? I want to tell you, your tear is not drop water. Your tear is variable. God cannot put just tap water in a bottle and store. The oceans are his anyway. The rivers are his anyway. When do we need to get just some water and just store? He needs to store your tears, because your tears are not just chemical substances. As science would tell us, your tears are a language to him. And they speak unspeakable things. Only the tears and God and the Son. Church, we have to become a church of tears. I want to talk very briefly as I come to finish about memorial. I know I mentioned it, but I want to bring it back to the topic. That when we do a tube and we do a tombstone, it becomes a memorial. Whoever sees it, hallelujah, is reminded. And I said, God, this is the tears in a bottle stand before us as a memorial. Tears in a bottle stand before God as a memorial on our behalf. The tears of Jesus have been the memorial that has stood before us for the last 2,000 years, crying before us day in, day out before God. When God sees the bruised son, he remembers the pain of Calvary, the tears he shed, and therefore we are remembered. He is interceding for us. Let your tears intercede for you. Let your tears not just be wasted. They will stand before God as a memorial. You know, the first mention of tears is in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 5. It refers to King Hezekiah. This is when he had been told he would die, and the scripture says, Hezekiah cried out to the Lord, pleading for his life. The Lord saw his tears, and stayed the hand of death and added his years. Can you see? God could have heard his cries, but my Bible is telling me he not only heard his cries, he saw his tears. You know, Pastor, we have come to a place where even kneeling, we are saying we are kneeling with our heart. We have become so stubborn, a church, that kneeling physically, we don't even want to kneel. So what do we do? Oh God, you can see us kneeling in our hearts. Come on. So we are also crying in our hearts. Our tears are in our hearts. God saw a physical tear from a king. We have come to that place where we have to let go. Get undignified before men, but before God. It's a worship, it is intercession, it is important for you and for me. Hallelujah. And the last mention of tears in the scriptures is in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. The last mention, God will wipe away every tear, hallelujah, from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I just wanted to dwell on the part that just says, and God will wipe away every tear. Huh? Let me tell you, you think God has no work to do? But he has reserved a particular work for himself. He didn't say he removed their shoes. He didn't say he removed their coats. He didn't say he'll comb their hairs. But he says he'll wipe their tears. Because it is him who wants us to cry. He's the one who created our emotions. He created our tears. He understands what they mean to him. And tears will be carried to the very end. Everything else can go, but tears will be carried to the very end. He who initiated them in us, he is the one who will wipe them away. Don't wipe your tears. Wait for the Lord to wipe them. Don't do his work. Let the Lord do his work. You know, sometimes we are so ashamed of our tears. God is not ashamed of our tears. Sometimes we are so ashamed of men. Like I talked about the African man who I am. But I tell you, God is not ashamed. He'll be wiping me in the public of saints and the public of all the creation. He's not ashamed of my tear. After all, he's a creator of my emotion and everything that goes within me. I want to show you the importance of tears. But all this I'm saying, because they have stood before us as a memorial all the years of our lives. I have 4 bottles with me here. I was using a small one just to be demonstrative of the lacrimatory, the bottle that God stores our tears in. But I want to say, every day you tear. Every day. We need to open this one too. Every day you tear. Hallelujah. There is a drop of your tear in the bottle of God. Hallelujah. It's not wasted. You may just think you have even forgotten that you cried. But I tell you, in God, there's already a deposit. Every day you are tearing before God is an additional deposit, an additional deposit, an additional deposit. There are people today who tear and continue to tear, and their bottles are full. Amen. Because they tear and tear, their bottles are full. God will need a very big towel for them. But there are also people who are so conservative with their tears. They have a drop. African men. But I believe in now we are innovative. We are transformed to know that in God we can tear for him. And there are those who are too dry, too self-composed, too proud. I can't tear. God, I'm okay with me. I am okay with who I am. And their bottles have nothing. My question is, what will God do with them? What will God do with them? When he comes and he's... How great is it when you come... We were shown about the singers who will be here. When you go to a book signing ceremony, the important thing is to see the right author autograph your book. God will autograph our faces by wiping our tears. When you appear before God and your tears, when he looks at your bottle, it has nothing. Your face is as dry as a rock from Sahara Desert. What will he autograph your face with? Hallelujah. Men, women, can we just think it, like, let's give God an opportunity to minister to us, because he didn't want. Before that time comes, these tears will have done so much for us, because every time they are standing before God crying, he cried for a husband, he cried for children, he cried for a job, he cried for persecution, he cried for the sick, and all these things, it will be before God, and these tears, they'll be maturing. It's not like the insurance where we pay. And at a certain time they tell you, okay, you have been paying, but you have now benefit because you did not die during the time of covering. Hallelujah. And I've said, I don't want to live poor and die rich. That kind of insurance I don't want. I am speaking from the pulpit. Why should I live poor only to die a millionaire? I don't need it. I would rather have my 10,000 now than a million when I'm in the grave. Hallelujah. Don't talk about my children. They'll have theirs. Hallelujah. They are not going to use me as an investment. I refuse. Hallelujah. I want to talk something here that God will be looking. But there are people, when God wants to do something for them, there is nothing that can be remembered or is too small. And there is people who have nothing to remind God. The scripture we have read about Hezekiah. He told God, remember, I have been righteous before you. And the scripture says he was added 15 more years into his life. His tears were, hallelujah, they were tears. There was something that was before him as a memorial that God looked at. Memorials remind us. They are our tombstones. Our tears, our tombstone. Hallelujah. God is the one who gives us the tears and is the one who wipes our tears. He is the greatest tear dryer. We sing a song, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he does not see a river, he sees, he counts them. And he knows this one is falling for this, this is falling for this. Hallelujah. To a man, a tear is a tear, empty, just water. But to God, it's not just a chemical reaction. It's a point of contact with him. It's a memorial before him. He corrects every drop of our tear as one would correct precious water in a desert. They would use even the anything overnight, just in the morning, to see whether there are drops. Precious. Our tears before God are precious. More precious than drops of water in a desert. God is interested in our tears. He is a collector. We don't collect things that have no value. I am not a collector. I don't have much money to be a collector. But those who collect, they collect things of value. They also collect things that are rare. And they collect things that are important. Therefore, if God collects our tears have value. Our tears are rare. Our tears are important. Don't be ashamed. Glorify God that you can drop a tear before him. As a divine observer, God observes as we cry. He does not miss a drop. As a divine gatherer, he collects all our tears. Drop by drop, he does not miss any. As a divine accountant or numberer, he numbers our tears. He does not miss a drop. Bookkeepers will miss. The ledger keepers will miss. This is divine, God himself. Therefore, he's perfect in his way. As a divine curator, he is the best preserver. Historians will preserve but lose it on the way. But he keeps records. No, he keeps. He preserves our tears. None of it is ruined. You go to a museum and they tell you, this used to be so and so, now it's lost. He does not lose or ruin any. As a divine registrar or keeper of records, he keeps the record. And as a divine reviewer, this is a beautiful part, he reviews them constantly and checks, just like King Ahasuerus checked that night. He checks what you need at that time. And he does not just review for fun. He reviews because he knows at that time you need it. Hallelujah. At that time, you need it. God mourns with us. He created our emotions. Hallelujah. He lets them work within us. And because he knows us and cares about our tears, we don't have to worry about our tears. Let them go. Let them. A child doesn't really need to be so bothered when daddy or mommy is around. Just let it go. Why? Because the divine one is concerned with our tears. Because he knows and cares about our tears, please let's not drown in them. Let's release them to God. Amen. You know, there are people who drown in their tears. They get lost in their tears. They don't know that their tears are in God. Because he cares about our tears, let's not be embarrassed by them. Amen. Tears may draw. I'm fine finishing now. Tears may draw from whoever shed them. They may even dry from where they have fallen. But in God, they are forever fresh and they'll never dry.
You have cried and nothing has happened this far. Every drop of your tear has been stored and recorded. What has not happened because you cried will still happen in due time. Why your tears stand before God every day as a constant memorial. And at due time, God will honor your prayers and your tears. Therefore, it's not lost. When it has not happened, better things are about to happen. May the Lord bless you and do you good. Amen.